Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Okay. It's good to see everybody, and I'll just trust that whoever needs to step in will step in as we're getting settled. And let's take a moment to get centered and settled. And so wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes, or if you are somewhere where you don't feel comfortable closing your eyes, metaphorically close your eyes, go inward. Feel your seat beneath you. And settle into this moment right here. Finding your breath and noticing your breath as you inhale and exhale. Inhaling, opening up. And expanding, taking in exactly what you need. Exhaling and letting go. Inhaling, opening up. Exhaling and letting go. Using the breath to connect deeply with your body. And as you connect in this way, with your eyes closed, I invite you to touch the tips of your fingers. You can either lightly touch them together, hand to hand, or take your thumbs very lightly. Let them move over each of your fingers. And do this for a few moments as a practice of connecting in with your body, of noticing light sensation on your body. Of being in your body. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in, and then allowing your eyes to flutter open. Bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. All right. So let's jump right in. We've got a clinic call today. So, you know, bring forward anything that you need, inner or outer. What can I help you with? Corinne.
Hi.
Can't hear you.
I can hear. Can you hear me now? I'm going to put on my headset. Hey, stop.
Oh, maybe Mike. All right. Yeah, my volume isn't on.
I feel like I'm never being heard. It's a recurring theme in my life. Hey, I have a question about assistance. So there's like a multi-pronged question. One thing I've noticed is that I have had a resistance to creating task sheets or like process sheets or SOPs. So I just do it. It's easier to do it and explain it to somebody else. We have an assistant that's been helping us with a dragon training. Like, we write the emails. She's a good editor and proofreader, so she can proofread and she uploads it to Kajabi. She kind of sets the schedule and she kind of do the nitty gritty. I've noticed though that she misses details, and like, I catch the details and I don't think of myself as a detail oriented person. And then she just raised her prices to $75 an hour, which is a little bit like, as of next month. So it's how do you find a good assistant?
Yeah. I think there's a couple of pieces in there. So I'm going to see if I can hit all of them. First of all, for someone that's doing tech, like, I would call what she's doing as kind of a tech VA. It doesn't sound like she's really a project manager.
I think she thinks of herself that way,
but it doesn't sound like that's how you're utilizing her. So even if she was doing a great job, if you're not utilizing her as a project manager, just as a, you know, to do these tasks, $75 an hour is, you're spending too much money.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. If she were project managing, and you had, or she created all of the SOPs and she was moving the systems along and she was doing a really good job, that would make more sense. And even that would be on the higher end of things.
And that's what we kind of hired her in the beginning. She did help us get set up with the websites and with the logistical pieces. And now she just kind of does the techie stuff.
So, and is that, it sounds like that's more because of you than her.
Yeah, and I think it's because I have been a little unhappy. There is no SOPs that's being done. There is no, and we're redoing it again, like taking the same thing we did in the fall, doing it again. And I feel like I'm explaining to her what she's supposed to do.
So it sounds like it's time for, in general, it sounds like it's time for someone new, and I'll get to how to find someone. But that being said, when that person comes on, have them create the SOPs. Number one, you share with them what the system is, but you don't put in the time to create all of it. You should give them as like some or as much raw information as you can verbally. They can record the conversation and then have them go back and create it based on the conversation, adding from their expertise pieces that should be put in or ideas or suggestions, and then go over it together voice to voice in a meeting. That's how you want to do SOPs, or else you're never going to get the SOPs done, because it is easier for you to just do the thing, right? So that's number one. There's something else I was going to say about SOPs. I don't remember. Anyway, so that's that. It is hard at first, and I've been there, of like, it's just easier for, I still have some things on my team where I'm like, I'm just going to do it on my own, right? But it does require a little extra effort in the beginning, but then it's so worthwhile, right? So a good person should be able to have a short conversation with you and also look to what was done before. Look in the system at the dragon preview and the training and all the pieces, and should be able to put something together, and then you can review it for shifts or improvements or whatever it is. In terms of how to find someone good, it's hard, you know. One of the reasons why it's difficult is because VAs and even project managers, they're working, it's not like a full-time person that's in the room with you that's fully dedicated to you. They're freelancers. They're, you know, and it's some of it is the nature of things, but that being said, a couple of things to think about. Number one, to be really clear on what you're looking for. And when I say really clear on what you're looking for, I'm not just talking about what tasks the person should do that you want them to do, but what personality are you looking for? Mm. What strengths are you looking for you to be really clear for yourself first, and then to communicate that. And when you're interviewing somebody, to ask questions that will help you determine if that person possesses those qualities and those personality traits and those skills and those strengths. And then don't skimp on asking for references, and ask references questions that will help answer that as well. Does this person have these skills, these personality traits, you know, the ability to do these responsibilities? So that's, you know, that's in general what you want to be thinking about. Asking detailed questions in interviews, I just find to be so important. And also following up with references, I think, is really important. And being clear, you know. Is that helpful?
That is really helpful. And I think that's like, be really clear on what am I looking for, not just the task, but the personality, their strength, maybe even a value system.
Yeah.
Across this man, John Jonas, mm-hmm. and he is really promoting a thing like working with an assistant from the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And he has like a whole system of kind of how to hire, how to train them, and how they tend to stay really loyal and work with you for a long, long time. I was wondering if you have any experience with working with people abroad.
So Talia, my client care coordinator, is abroad, but I haven't. It's been, you know, she's been with me a decade,
yeah,
more. I don't know. So I haven't in the last 10 years.
Right.
I've heard the whole gamut, the spectrum of great and not great.
Yeah.
I think it's about, I mean, I think references, or not references, recommendations is also really important. You know, finding, you know, if you can find someone who's recommended. There may be people in the community here that can make some recommendations. I love the team that I work with. I think I may have recommended them to you before, but yeah, so I can't speak.
Oh, that's right. I asked you, but that was for myself. That was for shadow work seminars. All right, cool. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I can give you their information. Mm.
And if anyone here has somebody you would recommend, I'll take it. Take recommendations. Great. Yeah, I'm getting to the place where I can't do it all myself.
Yeah, good. That's exciting. And yeah. I think it's a sign of growth, Corinne. I know we've spoken about this before with your team, but I feel like you're in an even more evolved place with it. I think it's a sign of growth.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Good. Kara.
Hi, Joanna. And everyone. I've come from the depths of my despair and being a failure on Friday in our retreat to almost filling my program today. So that's exciting. It's just a reminder for all of us that people don't like immediately jump in, and early bird rates are like worth it for the stress reduction factor, because that's where everyone started to come in on that date. So
100%. That's why I do it. It's not like a marketing. It's honestly not like a marketing manipulation tactic. It's so that I don't have to hold my breath for weeks on end.
Right.
See what's good. And I'm just like always clear about that too, you know?
Yeah. So a couple of questions. So I think the main one is scholarships. I announced that I had a few scholarships and I had like some people in mind already for them. And what I found was that a few people were like, well, I can't do this without a scholarship. And so by announcing it, I gave this sort of possibility. And I've noticed in myself, like just in the last few days, like on Monday, you know, I had a certain number scheduled and it was my early bird rate, but like at the end of, and so I had some conversations where I was like, well, I might be able to be a little flexible. And it just, I started getting into this murky pricing territory.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I have like all these other people who signed up at the end of the day on Monday, I think are going to like pay the full thing. And so it's just with a few people, but I'm just trying to learn for the future on grounding in the pricing. And like, I think it's a great deal, honestly, like from my perspective, but then I started getting into this like, oh my gosh, it is so expensive. No wonder, you know? Yeah. So yeah. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. A couple. So first of all, yay on things filling. So exciting. And also just such a good reminder again of like, everything passes and then moves to the next thing, right? I'm thinking about the cycles because today. Yeah. So anyway, but all that being said, here's something, I'm still learning about scholarships, but here are some of the things that I've learned. We have over the last, we used to do scholarships kind of back door, like if somebody really wanted in and they asked and it felt like a good match and it felt aligned, you know, we would kind of do it like that, which we still kind of do, but we've shifted a little bit over the last months in terms of publicly letting people know that there are scholarships available for people of color, or if you come from a marginalized community that doesn't, you know, always get supported. And so we've been more like that's been more on the front end of things. I haven't yet experimented with like blasting it out in an email or like sharing it, you know, on a preview. And I'm sure some of it has to do with just my own internal stuff I have to work out, but some of it, you know, so there is, I think, a legit fear of like, as soon as I'm just like, there's scholarships available for everybody, you know, and then what do I do if people already bought, you know, all the things. So right. How we've been kind of navigating that so far is that we have it on our sales pages in the Q&A section, mm-hmm. That we let people know.
Mm-hmm.
And how I've been managing it, or how we've been, you know, managing it mostly is it's either been like a straight up 50%, mm-hmm. or it's what asking people person by person, what is an amount that is a small stretch for you, but that isn't going to, you know, break the bank or put your right. nervous system at ease, so that you're investing an amount that like feels right and has you invested, but it's not something that's going to tax you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm, by the way, just for everybody, like I may not be doing it, you know, like there may be things to tweak in that too. I'm still learning. And so if anybody has suggestions, please share as well.
Awesome. That's helpful. And do you have a scholarship application?
What I've learned, and I've spoken to a DEI consultant about this, is that it's sometimes so hard just for somebody to ask for a scholarship if they need it. And so like the decision that I've made is I don't want to put so many barriers to that. It's like, if you need it, reach out and we're going to make it happen. Mm-hmm.
And in your Q&A in the scholarship, and when you say, you know, scholarships are available, do you say what it is, or you just leave that to the conversation?
You know, I don't know, but but if you go to a sales page, like you can go to the Sacred Depths sales page and it's on there. I can't remember in this moment.
Okay. Thank you. Can I ask one more quick question?
I think we say partial scholarship.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, involves saying the 50% isn't there. I don't think it is.
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie. Can I ask one more quick question?
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed in this launch, so I haven't done a public launch really. I did a small thing in the summer, but I haven't really like put myself out there to the universe. I did some preview things in front of a coaching school that helped me field last year. And I just felt like this launch felt so wonky. Because I have just like out of practice in a way. And I would just love to hear a little bit about how you think about the rhythm of launching and like the things that have to happen in between. So it doesn't feel like I'm pushing a mountain up a mountain when it happens. Because I'm thinking about trying to get into a groove of like, you know, every 6 months, and then maybe something in between that's like a little thing like you do. A smaller investment thing where you start to build relationship towards the launch. So you're not starting from scratch.
Right. That's exactly what we're doing. So we have like every 6 months, the big thing. And then in between, ways of creating relationships, ways of having people be in a container with me, because, and this is true of everybody here, just people that are attracted to be in this community and to work with me. Once you have people in a container with you, it's like, right, it's just so much easier, so easy opportunities. So that's why preview calls are important, preview workshops, short, you know, short things, that kind of thing. So in terms of rhythm, you know, it really depends on you and your business. Like full transparency, we've taken on a plan right now that I may not be able to do because we're doing two small 4-week things in between each big launch. And I'm going to just see, you know, and if it's too much for me energetically, you know, I won't do it. Right. So I can't speak to the rhythm other than you have to see what's right for you and your nervous system and your schedule.
Yeah.
When you have systems in place, like similar to what I was talking about with Corinne a few minutes ago, a lot of it can happen more smooth, you know, more smoothly.
Yeah.
And then it's about your energy, you know, and how, for me, I find launches are mostly about how I'm managing my energy, honestly, you know? So sorry, I'm being vague, but I don't know if that's.
No, I think that's a big point of it is like what aligns with me, and that's going to align with my work, and I also just started with a VA like as the launch is happening, so there's a lot of wonky things that I think will get evened out and feel different.
Yeah, I think that the more with launches, it's like you have systems, and then the systems get broken or overrided, you know, like it just with anything, right? Like parenting, you know, like you think your kids are never going to have sugar and then, right, it turns out differently. So anyway, it's like you have the systems. The systems are important because they hold things in place. And then you shift with them. But what I find is, as much as like we can prepare ahead of time, even within knowing that we're going to shift things as we go along, then I like my energy and my body have a place to settle into. And then I can really, again, just like energetically lead what needs to be led or know what needs to change as things happen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Great questions. Stephanie.
Hi. Okay, so this is sort of a continuation of what I posted in the Facebook group. I've just been like really dragging on like getting it together with this program that I'm offering, but today, this afternoon, I want to write the landing page for it. So it's happening. I'm getting, so you gave really good feedback on the, when I asked about the preview calls and you laid that out really well. And I guess I'm still a little, I'm feeling confused about what I should, so the, like all the setup, like talking about the potential resistances, telling my story, like I feel like I got all of that. When I'm talking about the things that people should be thinking about when they're gonna, so that the program is to start an online course. And there was the pieces of the tech, organizing your knowledge, the marketing. Like what I was gonna do is just sort of go through and talk about like, these, you should be thinking about these things because, right, if you don't do this X, if you do this Y, right, laying out why it's important. And then sort of go over what we're going to talk about in the course. But I guess I'm still feeling a little confused. Like, do I throw them some examples of something that we're going to talk about? Like in terms of marketing, like here's one way that you could market your course and we'll talk about more in the actual program. Right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, yes, those are good questions. And I'm glad that you're asking because when we were going back and forth on Facebook after that first piece on resistance, I was like a little bit like, this is all very informational. And I think it needs to be more transformational than informational. Mm-hmm. So for example, one of them was what, like how to market it. Mm-hmm. Instead of just giving information, like you need to think about this when you market it, you need to think about this when you market it, you need to think about this when you market it. My sense, and we can like tweak this together, but my sense is what would be more powerful and valuable and impactful is to say, so here are the pitfalls, particularly for, and I would describe who your ideal client is, mm-hmm. you know, like integrity based, you know, whoever they are, when you go to market an online course. And then I would share a whole bunch of pitfalls, mistakes that you've made in the past, ways that you know your ideal client will sabotage or kind of be led down the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And then I would pick one of those to go a little bit more deeply into. That can be more of like an inner or like deeper exploration question. Like, so for example, I'm just making this up, this may not be it, like, to be really clear on what your message is for your online course and really stick true to your values on why you're teaching this and why this is so important. And then maybe have them do just a couple of short exploration questions on what that would be for them. Do you know what I'm saying? Like mini. Mm-hmm. So you could even hit less overarching topics in the preview if you wanted to. And then when you make your call to action, talk about them and how you'll be covering them in the course, but maybe go like a little deeper into fewer so that they have, it's not just like lots of information being thrown at them, but they're doing self-inquiry or exploration or connecting in to their wisdom throughout. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think in my mind, like I felt prepared to do that with like the inner resistance piece.
Yeah,
like,
and that's a great.
Yeah. And then like the other things I was like, yeah, that there is just a lot of like informational pieces. And I was like, do I just list these things off? That's kind of boring. But I think that makes sense to put it in the call to action, because that's when people will have questions about like, oh, what are we actually going to be doing?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Of the whole thing, as you're creating an experience for them, you know, you're sharing information, but you're really taking them on a journey and creating an experience for them.
Yeah.
I think you'll have more fun too, if you do that.
Totally. Yeah, I guess I'm feeling like extra nervous around it because the last time I did this, I feel like I did all the things and people said that it was a really like powerful experience. And then like, I got nothing afterwards and I still don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, I have, just so you know, I have been there more than once and more than twice. Like, so sometimes it's just like, I don't know, Mercury retro, like right? Like who knows? Other times though, and this is where you can troubleshoot a little bit, if people had a really great experience, then my guess is that where there was gap was how you were seeding the program throughout the experience and then in the invitation to the program itself.
Yeah.
And that, so that's, when is the preview happening?
So it's not scheduled yet, but so my plan is to give people enough time to become aware of it, like 2 weeks from today. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be a week prior to the actual start of the course. And it's going to be a 4-week course. And I realize it's kind of rushed because I've been putting it off a lot, but in terms of like my schedule, like that's just where it fits right now.
You can't put the course off by 1 week so that it's 2 weeks for the preview and 2 weeks in between the preview and the course.
I could. I would just have to move something else. You think that would be better?
You could. I would just give a little bit more time and space for it. Just because you'd want to have time to do follow-up after the preview and, you know, like Kara was saying before, people don't buy right away. You know, there are people that buy at the very beginning and then people that buy at the very end. So if you can give yourself that space, I would say after you get like the meat of the experience of the thing, then that just gives us time to look at the call to action. But I would go back and look at how are you seeding? How are you inviting? One thing that I've learned recently in my calls to action that I used to not do is that, so I can get really analytical, you know? And so I just go into like all of the reasons why it's the, right? And then all the pieces and all of that. And what I've started doing is actually starting off emotionally. So telling an emotional story about it. Which there's like, what I've learned is that there's a small amount of buyers that buy, like that are high research buyers that need all the pieces. So you want to give them that, but most people are going to buy from their emotion, right? So sharing a little bit of something emotional, a story for you, you know, something like that, your first course. And I know you'll also share some of that throughout. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece is, Kara was saying before, urgency always helps. Mm-hmm. And if you're an entrepreneur of integrity, which I know you are, it's like, well, that can feel manipulative. I don't wanna, you know? And so again, like what I was saying earlier is how I approach it. And I let people know on previews, like I actually say like this early bird rate is for me so that I don't have to hold my breath to know if you're going to sign up or not. You know, it's just like, I want to thank you because it helps me, you know? And I just like share that full transparency.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. I have been thinking a lot about like manufactured scarcity and like, that's not something I want to participate in, but that feels more authentic and is true. Yeah. So when you're saying share your story, like I was planning to do that sort of at the beginning as sort of like the big why, but you're saying like bring it back in the call to action too. Okay. That makes sense. Oh, okay. That's right. Helpful. Now I just have to do it.
Yes. And you will do it. And if any cues come up along the way, just let us know.
Awesome. Thank you.
Kelsey.
Hi, this is more of like a little bit vague, just wanting your smarts on this, a little to help me think through something. My slow power course program, one of the things that changed as I made it into a 5-month program is I incorporated more of a module around goals. Which I'm understanding, and it makes so much sense. Like my, one of the things that I've always been like, oh, is this worth it? Is there value in this? Is like, there's not like a what are you doing with it thing. And I think that that works well with my people. But because like, so for you, for example, your people here are practitioners and coaches. So our goals are sort of similar, right? We're building in some ways, we're building our business, we're marketing our business. We have the same types of fears, the same type of, I'm having a little bit of a hard time thinking through because my people are a certain type of person, right? This hard driving, high achieving woman, but they're in all different walks of life and coming up with something that feels, well, I know it's for them to come up with, but incorporating it in the program in a way that feels like somewhat unified is confusing to me. Like what is, and also because part of what I'm helping these people with is like slowing down, there's this dissonance for me that maybe you can help me think of the wording around, that's around coming up with a goal and then in the program, like working towards the goal, because part of what then we do is like, look at what's getting in your way, right? The fears and things like that. But some people's goals were like one person's goal was, I want to set up a meditation room in my house. And by the time we met the next week, she'd already done it. And like another person's goal is much bigger. It's like about this book she wants to write. So I'm just like having a hard time holding. And also because we already passed the goal piece. I don't know. That's my question. Does my question make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. So, okay. Tell me if this is what is coming through. This may or may not resonate. The goal needs to be related to slow power and why they're in the course.
Okay.
So, and it may be, it could be an inner thing or it could be an outer thing, but it's something that they're committed to either doing with slow power or a new way of like being that they're going to emerge, you know, at the end. That's what will help unify, even though they're from all walks of life, they all want slow power. Do you know what I mean? So for them to create a goal that's related to this bigger why, that everybody is there. And then that also helps you speak to them, which you're doing throughout the program, but even specifically on these goals, like where the pitfalls are gonna be and where the fears are gonna be, because those are pretty universal in one way or another for your ideal client who desires more slow power.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So even for the woman that is like, I want to have a meditation room, you know, and you can do this with the group, like when they share their thing, you can say, great, but like in a slow power way, what is that goal going to look like?
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yeah. And since I didn't do that in the goal setting session, which was a couple times ago, and now we're talking about the pitfalls and what gets in the way, any suggestions on how to, like, because, you know, I'm going to, you know, that question of like, what's a goal you're moving forward on that you're, that you want to be moving forward and that you're stuck on, you know, in order to then look at what's getting in the way, just they can pick a new goal, I guess.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. They can either pick a new one, or if they haven't achieved the one they already set, say, okay, now let's, I want us to look at this through the lens of slow power. How would you shift
right
that goal?
Okay, great. That makes sense. Okay. All in learning for next time.
Yes. Good. Tammy.
Sorry, just trying to hush my children. Oh. hi. So,
oh, I lost you.
Sunshine, you're on mute.
I'm back now. Okay, so I'm feeling a little overwhelmed with my life right now and my practice and the shift and my move and my house going, being almost signed and all that. And so I was a little triggered this morning when I had a call with a client who was freaking out that I'm leaving. Granted, I understand. And she was totally, it was a good person to have a conversation with, but like she, among many others, we're kind of asking like, what am I doing? Like, how am I going to support them when I leave? And I have it energetically in my head. And I'm like, it's on my list of many things to do to like create some sort of outline or presentation to them with the knowing that I'm not going to make it completely solid yet, because I just can't, like, I don't have the bandwidth mentally to do that. And so me and Michelle had a beautiful conversation yesterday about like the sacred container and having support in more of a cyclical way. So it kind of gives us like breaks in between as well, you know? And so I kind of want to bring that energy in, which makes me again think like, I don't want to rush into creating something before I leave. And so I guess I'm just kind of speaking out loud, thinking out loud, like, how do I make some sort of transitional pack, like some sort of transitional support, knowing that it's going to change, you know, as soon as I kind of get my grounding. I think most people, and if they're not understanding, then they're not the right people for me, but I'd say most of them are there. And with that also came like this aha, what over last week with Victoria, like she's definitely not stepping into where I want her to, but I realized like she's good for the clients that I don't want anymore, that, you know, I can make some money financially off of her and help her grow and support her in that way and make money from the mentorship and all that. So I think I've finally let go of like expecting something that I'm not going to get with that relationship, which is really powerful. And then it kind of allowed me to just think about how I support people who want to work with me. And if not, then they got to kind of move on and figure something else out. But so that's all in my head. And just curious if you have any wise words for me right now.
If you have the wise words for yourself, what are they?
I mean, what came up a lot last week was just like trust and patience. And like I said, I'm clear that I was triggered today, but there's been a lot of triggers.
Yeah. Well, which there are going to be when your nervous system is more activated. And now is a time, anytime we go through change, you know, we're in dysregulation, whether the change is good or bad. And so we're more prone to triggers. That's just fine, right? Just remember that. But I think the inner wisdom that you just shared, 110%, you know, have patience. What part of what I hear in that, tell me if I'm reading in my filters, but, you know, don't rush this. That's not what this is about, right? So does that feel true?
Yeah, that feels important, yeah.
Yeah, so if with that being said, my suggestion would be to send an email out to your people and say, I know a lot of you have been asking either to me or asking yourselves internally, you know, what's next and how is Tammy gonna be able to support? And oh my gosh, I hope she is going to be able to support. And I want you to know the answer to that question is a resounding yes. It is my honor and my privilege. And even though I am moving from, you know, this part of the country, my heart is not moving away from you, or whatever your wording is, and say, and right now is a moment where, or let me just think of a better way to say it, like, and for as much as I want to be able to tell you the exact details right now, some of them are still in the mystery. And I if there's anything that I've learned is that if something's in the mystery, you can't force it out. I feel intuitively that as soon as I move, more of the pieces will be in place. This doesn't mean that I can't support you until that time. Here is a provisional, here are some provisional ideas on how we can bridge from now to then. Right? And then you can go from there. How does that feel?
That sounds good.
Okay.
And I think what came up too while you're talking to me is, you know, so much of this was about how I changed my process of running my business and not to be like, you know, to slow it down. I mean, I'm really good at the other, but I don't want to do that anymore. I'm getting too old for that.
Absolutely. Which is why it's great that you're catching yourself in that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what feels important is like, I could do it like the way I've always done it, but like I've worked this hard to get to this point to shift it. And I can't go there. So that's good. I wish I could masterfully say it as well as you, but at least now I have an idea and I can kind of work on it.
You'll say it in your own words and that's what's going to be most powerful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Pam.
There's the unmute. So just a very quick loop back about the difficult client conversation. She emailed she had to reschedule today because she has a job interview, which is a good thing. But it sounds like she's kind of settling in and dealing with, like, why did I go to such a childish place in my response? That wasn't really productive, you know, looking forward to our next meeting. So I feel like that's moving itself out a little bit. So the question I have is kind of about timing sessions. So I've always worked previously with longer sessions, like 75 minutes. And I've been doing 75 minutes every other week, and it came up in both a different course, but also conversations with clients. That's not really the best flow for them. That having too long sessions is kind of too intense. There's too much deep work that comes up in that time. And then with the 2 weeks in between, it just kind of feels like this. And so the suggestion was made, and it feels like really aligned to shift to 3 sessions a month instead of 2, but keeping one of them long and then having 2 of them be half that length, like 35 or 40 minutes, so that there's less of like the propensity for the deep digging and they become more of like check-ins and strategy. And then having the integration week is really useful because then they can see where, oh yeah, I'm better self-directed on this and I can go for 2 weeks without somebody scaffolding me versus whoops, I got 5 days in and kind of went kersplat. So it's that part's really helpful, but like I am struggling mightily to keep the short sessions short. And my clients are like, yeah, they're so used to bringing all of it, like everything in the kitchen table to it, which, and this actually goes into kind of like a part B of the question about describing what I do with people, that it's just sort of getting to be either cumbersome to try to wade through it all and figure out how to like crunch it in. And so there's a piece of like, how do you redraw that boundary and redraw the structure? But then the other challenge with it is like, in expressing what it is that I do for people, from like for marketing copy, from the perspective of like, what's the problem I help them solve? It's always been more about the methodology or the general, like helping to identify, you know, the stuck places and remove that friction and help bridge the gap. But it isn't so much, this is the problem we solve. And I feel like if I had a more clearly, and tell me if this is a good way to think about it or a different, or if a different way would be better. Like if I had a different definition for what the short calls are for, it would give them a frame that would make it easier. And I feel like I'm like grasping for what that shape, what that new smaller shape is. Does that
make sense? It does. I think there's a couple of different pieces in here I'm going to kind of piece through. So first of all, just in terms of messaging and marketing and all of that, I do think you're up and ready to like take another, your next look, you know, your next evolution of it. And so if you haven't done this lately, I would recommend like going through, maybe listing out, you know, your favorite 5-6 clients that you've had or more. Okay. And for each one, list out what you've supported them with and how they've shifted on the inner and outer levels. And then once you do that, even if it's totally different things like work, health, you know, whatever it is, you're going to start to see
patterns
or umbrellas, not by area of life, but more topically, no matter which area of life it falls into. Yeah. And we can also help with that once you have that all out. So mm-hmm. I would just do that as a project, you know, when you're ready. I think it will be really helpful. And then just to go alongside with that, for you to do some inner work around some writing around like what it is that you're really here to share.
That's the part that gets challenging, not the doing of it. Because I feel like when I think about what I'm really here to share, it very much comes in for me as soul level information. And while that is relevant for some of my ideal clients, like in terms of the verbiage, it's not necessary for others. Cool. It's just, it's
I'm gonna
context. So it never seems like it translates, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so agree. But here's what's important, and we can get to verbiage of soul level information or whatever it is.
Right.
What I want you to do writing on is from your opinion and your heart, why creating awareness or revealing or connecting with soul level information is vitally important for who your ideal client is.
Okay.
Like, what's your opinion on that?
Okay, got that.
Okay, so that's that. That will eventually maybe help frame the timing and the, all the things, but I'm gonna kind of just address that separately right now. Number one, I think that for most people, and you know, for most people in general, and I say this lovingly for you, Anne, 35 minutes is too short of mm-hmm. a session.
Yeah.
I think 45 minutes is probably, no matter how you frame it, I think anything shorter than 45 minutes for you is not going to be a sweet spot. Does that resonate?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So that's important, right?
Yeah.
I used to have a program where people got a monthly 30-minute call, and it was stressful. It was just stressful. It wasn't good for me. Somebody else made me. But anyway, so that's one thing. That's one piece of this. The other pieces are when you have your seven, these are just some thoughts I'm having. So number one, when you, at the end of your 75 minute call, there may be a question which they either answer on the call or they just answer in after the call of, so what's your, what is the goal for this month based on what came out of our time together today, right? So that there's this kind of, now there's like a goal, right? And then if your clients don't fill out forms before calls, I would recommend that you try to get there.
Yeah.
And ask, and there should be like the main question on the form should be like, what came out of our 75 minute session? You know, what's been resonating for you since our longer session? And what specifically around that would you like to receive today?
Yeah.
I don't know if that will help, but I think maybe having that tighter container around it will guide things.
Yeah. More. Yeah, I noticed that the call last night, actually that I asked because the client, like my 5:30 Tuesday, right, is really, really helpful with feedback. Like we talked about like part, like she's partial barter in exchange for giving me feedback on new stuff and kind of beta testing. And it works really well. She's super insightful with those kinds of things. And she was saying she felt like one of the things that sucked a lot of time is that she felt like she needed to give me a lot of information about what she'd been seeing and experiencing since the last call to give context for what she was wanting to work on. And so we were kind of talking about, is that something that you would want to just bullet point in a document the night before?
Yeah.
So that anything that I need more information on, I can ask you, but if it seems pretty self-explanatory, you know, we can just kind of,
yeah, and you can ask that as a question on your account prep form or whatever you call it, you know, that can be in there as well.
Yeah. And then I know, like, I'm sometimes people are going to not have time, they're going to forget. Yeah. So then in the session, do you just kind of pre-frame that, like, okay, you know, without that, we may get to less because we're covering all of that on the call. And as long as you know that and are responsible for it, is that a good approach?
I think it's person by person and situation by situation. So for some people, yes. And then for other people, it's like, just tell me only what I need to know. You know?
Yep. That we'd already planned to have, I don't know who this royal we is.
Here.
We had already planned, it's my tiara. I wear it when I need to remind myself of my sovereignty, that the 75 minute calls are really strategizing for the month and focusing in on the primary goal and anything to kind of look out for. And I think it's the checking in on the what to look out for that took the extra time. And so I'll play with how to put that in paperwork in a way that evokes it without like,
yeah,
compressing it too much. So that's, yeah, yeah, that works. Okay. I think that's plenty. Thank you. Okay.
Keep us posted. Let us know how it evolves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I feel like I have a lot better momentum in general than I've had for a long time. And I know I keep saying that, but it's feeling good. And you know, the only thing that's like a panicky piece in the background for being able to stay on top of things is that insurance finally said, okay, you've picked a contractor. Now let's finalize and get your basement stuff done, which means I'm going to have to move my office at some currently not determined time in the next like 4 to 6 weeks so that's stressing me out a little bit. Like I'll figure that out. I'll put that in the group.
We'll figure it out. You're in motion.
Yeah. I haven't been in motion for so long. It just feels nice to be in motion.
I love it. I'm so happy. Thanks, Joanna. In ball.
I have so many things, but I want to talk about this one client. And I've spoken about her before. I don't know why I particularly like trip on her, but this is the one who wants to get, who's really trying to conceive. So, and so some of my judgment is gonna come out. But yeah, like in the fall, she was talking about getting, so she's not working, she's not looking for work, she's turning down work. Totally like, yeah. And so all she does is like self-care and to try to get into her intuition. And I think part of it is that I'm like, can I help you? Like, can I even help her with this? So I did bring up the like, hey, are you still interested in, you know, we spoke about this at the end of the year. Is there anything about professional stuff? She's like, no. So, and yeah, so it's like this whole exploration. And I think I'm a little bit like, yeah, scared of like what's going to happen to her, or that it's all of a sudden going to be, or like if she doesn't get pregnant and then, yeah. And then yesterday she's like, yeah, what she wanted to focus on was like blocks to her intuition and how she can further her intuition. And I'm like, I figured it out by like looking at the fears, but I'm like, I don't feel like I'm the person for this.
Okay. I think I got it. So a couple of things. First of all, just as a reminder, you don't have to be an expert in any topic that a client brings forward, so long as it's clear that you're not a consultant. Like you have the skills, if you've been through Sacred Depths, you have the skills to coach through any topic, but maybe not consult that topic. So that's just like a side thing to remember. I have some questions around like your filters and your beliefs, not to say that they're not accurate or, you know, they may be, but just to check your filters. And then from there, you know, you can consider actually sharing it with her. Like, this might just be coming from my filters. But it felt important to share with you, and you know best, you ultimately know best, but I am concerned that we're not focusing, or you're not focusing at all on professional pieces. I want to honor that you're taking this time just for you. And it may be that this time needs to just solely be just for you, but I also know that XYZ, is it appropriate for us to look at a place where the two can meet, where you are really following your intuition, really nourishing your body, preparing for this conception, while still blah, 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 blah. You know, and so long as you put agency in her hands and you don't guru her with it, but, and share, like, this could just be me, but I just want to share this concern. That's fair play. I do that sometimes with clients. How does that feel?
Yeah, I did a version of that, like not as skillfully. But you know, we worked it out. I actually think that more than judgment, because I'm pretty good at checking myself around that, is kind of like an overprotective thing. And again, kind of like over responsibility. So like, yes, put the agency in her hands. And then there's a part of me that's like, right, like suddenly she wants to be an artist. And I'm like, and like be like one income. And it's like, it's just not how I know her to be. Like, she wants to make money. She's used to, like, that's so.
So remember listening skills. You do want to listen for inconsistencies in yeah. terms of who you know your client to be. Now, that doesn't mean that she hasn't changed. She may have changed or transformed, but it's more than okay. It's actually your job to point out, not say inconsistency, right? But just, like, to say it's different from who I know you to be. And this is wonderful. Let's look at what's shifted for you around that and really connect yeah. some dots and, you know, and then that can open up to whatever awareness needs to come her way.
Yeah. So I'm curious, cause like, I did versions of this, like, so, again, like not as clearly or skillfully. So I think right now I'm just like, what's my problem? Like, I saw her form and I was like, fuck, I don't know anything about intuition. And then it was a super helpful call. It was great. You know, she's like,
what's your fear or belief?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, I think there's a part of me that's like, I'm working my ass off right now. And she's like literally spending all days doing self-care. So
okay, I was wondering if some of it had to do with that, right? So that's just a good place for you to lean into for yourself.
Totally. So it's like, so is this stuff I'm aware of, but no. And that's the thing. It's like, I have the awareness. I'm constantly checking myself. I think I'm just afraid that like she's gonna end up like with nothing. I think it's, yeah, there's something energetic. Yeah, about like I wanna know if she's pregnant on her next test too. Like, just because it's really, I mean, I've been working with her for 6 years.
Yeah. So I think it's just important for you with yourself to acknowledge that, you know, and acknowledge that like motherly protection that you have with her. And then to tell me if this makes sense, like to take leadership while also letting her be the leader. Bring things up as you see them. Provide the opportunity for exploration, but ultimately trust her.
Okay. Yeah, and I got emotional like talking about that. I'm just, yeah, I really want her to have this.
Yeah. I my sense is you're feeling, tell me if this lands, like you're feeling a lot of motherly feelings towards her, which is great. Like, we want to show up in that archetype sometimes, right? But the trick I'm learning over and over again, being a parent of a tween, is like in parenting, is like back to coaching energetics 101, trusting myself and trusting her and holding the space, but letting her lead.
Right on. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. So who else? I want to encourage you to raise your hand. Anyone to raise their hand, but particularly if you don't usually ask questions, particularly if there are ways that you want to be moving forward right now that you're not moving forward, particularly if you can call yourself out and be like, I'm hiding a little bit. This is the place. This is the moment. What do you guys need? Corinne, I see your hand up and I'll swing back to you, but I want to make space for a moment. Even if it's uncomfortable, that is okay for anyone else who may want to ask a question. You guys can't see who I'm looking at on the screen, but I'm looking at certain people on the screen. Alyssa.
I should have just unmuted, right? I knew you were looking at me. I could feel it. Yeah, I was really inspired by the last week's call, and then we had those 2 days, and then the weekend, and my head, and things in the house, and but I really like the idea of, and I wrote notes, and I haven't seen them yet. I signed up for FreshBooks as a way to organize my finances. I'm going to need to do an accounting for my husband, who's really into numbers and statistics and everything. So. But it's also a gateway. So I just literally just typed that in last night. And so then it's like the first thing they want you to do is load in clients. So anyway, what I was inspired by last week was the idea of, and I mentioned how I have this elder nun talking to me in my head about how nothing goes home unless it's perfect. So the idea of inviting, and I'm thinking three people to come in, and rather like Anne was saying, the idea of having someone, you know, to help me, knowing that they're coming in and I'm going to be messy. I need to set my things up, and that they can help me as I set things up, you know. So instead of just putting fake people in as clients, that I can add real people in as clients, and knowing that I'm figuring out how to invoice and all the different pieces. And so that's where my mind is right now. And it's just a matter of stepping through that, all those pieces.
I'm so excited about that. Yes, right. It is like, you're ready. You are
cooked. Yes.
You are fully cooked and ready.
Yes.
Right. So, I would not have it be for free.
No.
Right? So right. I would charge them. You can either say, you know, two extra sessions, you know, in support of this, or however you want to do it.
Okay.
But bring on formal clients.
Right. Okay. That's a nice idea to add extra sessions instead of like a discount. Because we'll be spending time talking about me and my system. So, all right. Okay.
Yeah. And I know there's always fears. Like, you know, I don't want to say don't be scared, because there is always fear, you know, with I still get scared reaching out to people.
Right. But
I really, like I said, I feel like you're cooked. You're fully cooked. Like, you can do this, even feeling some of the fear.
Right.
Sometimes it's like, you know, you prepare the email and then, you know, and just press send, and then it's out right. There. Right.
Right. Yeah. I've been working on like not bullying myself and, you know, bringing myself along in this, you know. I don't have to be doing this, you know, I'm.
Right. So. Absolutely. But you want to, right?
I do. Yes.
Yeah. Because you keep on showing up. Right.
Yes.
So you want to. So if it helps, I would also just recommend giving yourself some dates. Like, you know, I'm making this up, but maybe by Friday you write a template email and identify some people you want to send it to. And then Monday, by Tuesday, you send it out to everybody.
Right. Okay. Yep. I'll let you know.
Yeah. And if you need any support along the way, you know, just let us know. Except I'm not going to be around the next 2 days. So. But beyond that.
I handle everything. Don't worry.
No.
No, this was a joke.
Karen.
Thank you, everybody, for all your awesome VA suggestions. I kind of started looking at them a bit. So that makes me excited. I have two questions. One is, with the dragon training, I'm really noticing how powerful it is to get some affiliates to help me promote, and how it helps kind of build a bigger list and get more people involved. So my question is this an appropriate place to ask for affiliates, or how would you go about finding more affiliates?
Yeah, so for sure, like in terms of this, like ask in the Facebook group, share.
Which Facebook group?
The Coaching Mastery Circle.
Okay.
Just because I think the other bigger group, you're not going to know who's who. There isn't like a familiarity there, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. it's harder. But I want to encourage you all to support each other and to share each other's work and to make recommendations and referrals. It's such a, there's so much power in this circle. And then you, I know you're part of some other really powerful circles. I, you know, whoever you know individually, ask individually. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think how else and where else. I mean, you could, this is a longer term project, but you could start identifying people that you don't know, that you feel your ideal client is hanging out in their community and that you share similar values and that you would feel good sharing their stuff as well. And you could send cold notes. When you do that, start off with something very complimentary, like, I love your work. It's just blah, 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 blah. You know, and this is why I'm reaching out short. You know, would it make sense for us to hop on the phone? I think that having some personal connection helps people make really strong recommendations for you. As I've done it before, where it's just we've connected over email, and then it's like there isn't that kind of resonance as when you know somebody.
Right. And the next dragon training I will do is going to be for just women. I'm doing it just a women cohort, which I am like so jazzed up about. And so I want to get I really would love some women network people to kind of as affiliates. And right now we pay 30% of the tuition. If an affiliate signs up, is that like a common?
I think it just completely depends on the price point and what the thing is. And, you know, it depends on so many things.
Yeah.
I'll just share personally. I have never shared somebody else's. I mean, it's nice to get an affiliate fee, but that's not why I share other people's work, you know. My sense is, unless it's an internet marketer, most people are that way.
That's by the sense I get from the people that have been affiliates. It's like, you know, I would do this anyway, but.
And
there were several people from our last launch that were like, just keep it, use it as a scholarship for somebody. Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's just right. If somebody is going to be sharing just for the money, it's not going to be word wise or energy wise as heartfelt.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to put out a request if you want to be an affiliate for the women's Meet Your Dragon. I have one more question, and this might be something that everybody might want to know. I was just reading through like the material signing up for this whole training. And you said that we have access to some more one-on-one time with you for a price. And I would love to get some help with my Limitless Self curriculum. I went through the curriculum course and I get stumped when I'm just by myself in my little office. I get stuck in my head. And this is like the Yoga Nidra. It's a good course, but I'm feeling I set up my Zoom calls. It's like a weekly Zoom call just to do a little bit of extra teaching and then answer questions or do maybe a little bit of coaching. But I'm finding that it feels like it's falling a bit flat. Like the first three, four sessions, there's like
80% attendance and then it trickles off. So I'm looking to see if there's a way I can get some help to kind of spruce it up, take some of the Joanna magic to it. So how would I go about?
Yeah, I'll send you, I know you sent me an email. I'll send you an email about that. We can either set up a session or you can set up a session with Inbal. She's like fully trained to support with curriculum, but I'll send you all that info. I feel like we could do a session and sort it out. One thing that's just important to know is that the more that people are online and the more that there's so many things and so much Zoom and all of that, there is a certain amount of people that just fall off after the first. So if it's just that,
you know, it needs to be spruced up.
Okay. Because that's just, I'm working through it for myself.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's a solution. I don't think it's I don't even want to call it a problem. I don't know that it's an issue that has a solution. Mm-hmm. I think it's our world right now.
I've been thinking about that too, because everything's been online. And I think come fall, are we even going to be able to fill any of our programs? Or people just going to be zoomed out?
We're going to, no. People will need support and all the things. Mm. Do not worry. Do not go there.
Okay. I won't go there. No, but my thinking was like, well, how else might it be like going back to voice only?
Right. Maybe. I just finally got on Zoom. I'm not ready to move back, but it's possible.
Right.
Other things.
Could that also thing
that's also just important is to your ideal client for that program is probably somebody who is overbooked. And that's why they have signed up for that program, because they want more space for themselves. Mm-hmm. So they may need, even in the beginning, some extra speaking to about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Ian, would your team be able to take a look at, I'm doing a new website. I'm revamping get a whole new website to just be like some feedback.
We could do that. Yes. We haven't done like just that before. I would probably want to do it myself. I don't know. Let's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Inbal.
I just wanted to ask a quick question. So I've been receiving a lot of support, like from Lissa and Anne around this, and definitely Marcy. So a funny thing happened where I've been obsessing about my newsletters, and then I wrote one and I fucked up the subject line with the merge tag. And the question was like, do you want to be perfect, Inbal? But it was like, first name, do you want to be perfect? Anyway, it was a cosmic joke from the universe. Like, it was just like, of course. And at that point I was so over myself that it was just like, it was just funny. That being said, and there's a part of me that wants to make a joke about it. The bottom line is that I have a workshop next Tuesday. I'm totally committed to doing it. It's about like perfectionism as patriarchy, as binary. It's basically about perfectionism. I know I need to kind of blueprint out, but it's like, what's most important, just like to get people. Yeah, I mean, part of it is like maybe energetics, like Karin was saying last week, like take my marbles or my stones what's the most important thing to get done to get like people there? Because I'm just trying to get more one-on-one clients.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, tell me if this is what, I mean, you have to let people know about it, right? So are you, that's the most important thing. So a couple of emails, letting people know about it, telling them how they can either sign up or what information they need to be there. And you feeling excited about it. That's really it.
Yeah. yeah, I'll do like the blueprint. Like, it's like, I know what to do. I'm just, yeah. It's, I'm excited about the workshop. I have the content, it's just the fucking marketing.
Yeah, but yes, and what's the and? I mean,
suck it up.
Yeah, suck it up. Yeah, and Anne is saying shorter, simpler emails, right? It doesn't have to be these long Megillas. Save it for Purim, you know, like just, you know, just like short. I mean, the title alone, like what you just shared about it, is captivating enough, you know, and then with some bullet points and why it's important.
Yeah. All right. Edit myself.
Yeah. And simplify. Okay. All right, everyone. I'm thinking about all of you, sending you all lots of love. Let us know what you need. Talk to you soon. Bye.